today on Real Radio.
God never loses. God will never be defeated. His word will never be compromised. His word will never be contradicted. God is eternal. God is firm. God is sure. God is steadfast. When life doesn't seem steadfast to us, it's because we've gotten away from the stability of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. As we head towards the end of the book of Isaiah, we've seen the hand of God over everything that happened both in Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in a physical body. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return to rule and to reign and to bring His form of justice to the world. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 57, we learned that when a follower of Jesus Christ dies, their spirit is immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His and those who are not His. When we reject God, we end up filling our lives with other forms of worship. Many even sacrifice their jobs, their families, and their ultimate souls for worldly pleasures. So today in chapter 57, Pastor Jack reminds us that what Satan means for evil, God will turn around for good. God will never be defeated, and His word will never be contradicted. That's why we cannot lose sight of Him in the middle of our storms. He is our stability and comfort in all situations. And now in his lesson called The Lord Knows, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let's pray together. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You would go before us in the setting of church tonight, Father, that from all of our schedules, all of the things going on in our lives, we thank You, Lord. School's back in, all the pressures of that stuff, life, work, commuting, traffic, and yet Your people are here. And God, we just thank You for that. And so, Father, this time tonight, I'm pleading with You, Lord, that I would be out of the way tonight, that we would all be out of the way, that Your Holy Spirit would be so present this evening to have the freedom to move in the midst. I think Gia mentioned that a moment ago about inviting the Holy Spirit to be present in this place. And we know, Lord God, that if we do that, and if we determine tonight to follow You in Your word, then, Lord, we're safe. And we thank You for that promise of Yours that will never fail. We ask it in Jesus' name. And again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated and you can grab your Bibles tonight and open them up to actually two places, if you would. First of all, go to John chapter 10 in your Bibles tonight, John chapter 10, and Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to end Isaiah 57 tonight. You say, it seems like we've been in this for a couple months. I think we have been. It was a chapter I thought we'd go through quickly, but maybe tonight I see why God had His timing be what it is. But John chapter 10, and of course we'll land in Isaiah chapter 57. We're looking at a message, part 3 of a message entitled, The Lord Knows. We need to write this down if we're not believing it, or if we have forgotten, maybe we need a reminder, God knows. God knows everything. There's nothing that can happen in our lives. There's nothing that is going to go on in the news, in the world, that God does not know of. Now, that should be a comfort to us when we understand that God's word is given to us to give us insight and peace and direction and comfort. But listen, this title could bother some of you because you would say, well, if the Lord knows, then why didn't He? And you fill in the blank. And you begin to wonder and you begin to doubt God and His grandeur and God and His purposes. Let's remember this, church. The Bible says that what Satan means to do by perpetrating evil, God turns it around and makes for what? Good. The pastors were praying together before service tonight, and I reminded them tonight that God never loses. God will never be defeated. His word will never be compromised. His word will never be contradicted. God is eternal. God is firm. God is sure. God is steadfast. When life doesn't seem steadfast to us, it's because we've gotten away from the stability of God. When we sense or feel like something's fallen apart at the seams, it's because, quite frankly, we've lost sight of God in the midst of the storms. We need to remember these things. God knows. The Lord knows. And I want to start Isaiah 57 tonight with John chapter 10. I'm going to read selective verses, but you'll see them on the screen. But your Bible there ought to be marked, John 10. And verse 4, the Bible says, "And when he brings out his own sheep," Jesus is speaking, "he goes before them." So listen, insert yourself in here. When he brings you out, put in your name if you're a child of God. If you believe Christ Jesus tonight as your Lord and Savior, your shepherd, the Bible says he goes before you. He goes before us. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They recognize his truth. Verse 5, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him." False teacher, false shepherd, false doctrine. "For they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 7, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.'" God's children never follow false doctrine or false teachers. It's impossible. Jesus won't allow it. Verse 9, "I'm the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. And I am," verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." I love that. Verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 27, all the way down. Verse 27, chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Verse 29. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." Greater than what? Greater than who? All. "And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30. "I and my Father are one." The stability and the comfort that's in Christ. I want that to be the introduction to our ending arguments of Isaiah chapter 57. By very quick review, Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2, I often use in funerals for believers. It's tough, by the way, to do a funeral for a non-believer, because you don't know what happened in their last moments. You pray that they're in the presence of the Lord, but you don't know that. I can't assume that. You can't make something up to cause the audience to feel good. That's not right. That would be sin. But if I do a funeral of an unbeliever, I always tell the gathering, one thing's for sure, if John was here today, he would say, "Love God with all your heart." Isn't that true? Yes. Believer or non-believer, that's one thing all in eternity have in common right now. If they're in heaven or hell, it would be this: love God with all your heart. That's good theology. To love God. But in Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2, we saw this, that the Lord knows those who are his. Very comforting verses. The righteous perish. Godly people die. People who love God die. "And no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil." Verse 2, "He shall enter into his peace. They shall rest in their beds." It's speaking of relaxation or comfort or entering into their rest, "each one walking in his uprightness." God knows those that are his. Christian, you'll never be lost in this life or in eternity. And God is saying, when your hour comes, when it's time for you to die, God says, "I'm going to remove you." In that death process, we studied it at length last time, "and receive you into glory." It's a place of joyful rest from this world when God takes us home. Why? How? Because God knows those who are his. You won't fall through the cracks. You won't be lost. Again, if you missed our previous studies on that, you need to go back and look at it online. Number two, we saw that the Lord knows those who are not his. And this is the point that we left off on. We ended somewhere down around verse 7 on this, but the Lord knows, according to the Bible, God knows those who do not believe in him. If you're here tonight, or if you're watching tonight and you're not a believer, listen, God knows you, and he knows you and your unbelief. What does that mean? It means he knows that you've rejected him. He knows that. Maybe in some sense you're watching tonight or you're here tonight and you're ignorant of the gospel. You're ignorant. You don't know. I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying you just don't know it. But the gospel is this, that God loved you so much because he is God. Isn't it amazing? Because he is God, he knew you in the 21st century. Who knew? What am I saying? He knew you tonight. He knows everything about you tonight. He knows that tonight you're a non-believer. He knows that you're not trusting Christ. But when you hear the gospel that he died on the cross for your sins, personally, he paid all the sin debt that you've racked up in life. He died on the cross for your sins. If you reject that sacrifice, you have no, as the Bible would put it, you have no blood covering you. You have no blood protecting you from God's wrath. You see, God is appeased. His wrath is appeased by the sacrifice of innocent blood. You see, that's creepy. That's weird. I will give you that. That blood is creepy. Well, blood is creepy unless you need a transfusion. Then blood's no longer creepy. And I'll tell you this. The righteousness of Jesus Christ was transfused into us at the cross and at the resurrection. It's his blood that gives us life. Just like if you were to go to the hospital right now and you would need blood. You know, I think about our soldiers in the battlefield. I don't know if you know this or not. But you know all of our soldiers, and I had this explained to me in detail. It's quite amazing because when they're out in a battle, especially forward operations, special ops, you know what they use for blood when their brother is down in a special operation in warfare? They don't have all the medical gear that they need. They're covert operations. They're in a country, and our country would even deny that they're in the country of some other nation. Are you with me? And somebody gets shot or needs blood. Do you know what they do? They don't pull out an IV bottle like you see in the movies. They don't do that. Do you know what they do? Another soldier stands over that other soldier laying down. He rams a needle in his arm and he sticks the other part of the needle in the other guy, and the guy just pumps his life-giving blood into the man that's dying from a lack of blood. And he stands there. Watch this. When that guy starts to feel too weak, he steps aside, they take the needle out, they do it into the other soldier until their brother is saved. Jesus did that at the cross for our sins. And for us to reject what he's done for us is to reach up into heaven, as it were, and slap the face of almighty love. It's to say, I don't need your transfusion. I don't need what you have to give me. And I would argue with you tonight, you need everything that God has for you. And it starts with forgiveness of sins. God not only knows the righteous who trust him, by the way, it's by them trusting him that they're made righteous. Let me make sure that's straight. But the unbelief of the wicked condemns them. And yet Jesus paid the price for all. And God knows. And in verses 3-6, we saw the horrific degradation of the children of Israel who departed from the worship of God and the love of God. And they went into all kinds of spiritual adulterous expressions in worship. And we talked about that. And we talked about how they would offer their children as human sacrifices because of their own sin. One verse bears repeating tonight, Micah chapter 6, verse 7, regarding, listen, they had temple prostitutes, they had pornographic worship, nothing, there's nothing new under the sun. They had horrible gods that they would bow down to, and all of them were sensual. In Micah chapter 6, verse 7, it says, will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? The answer is, of course not. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body, the womb, for the sin of my soul? Because I've sinned, should I sacrifice this life within me because I've sinned? No, God doesn't want another life. God's got the life of his son at the cross. Jesus died there, so nobody else has to die again. Think about that for a moment. And he said in verse 7, on a high and lofty mountain, He says to Israel, you've set your bed up. Remember what that meant last time, church? It said there that even there you went up to offer sacrifices. It's very sensual. It means that they went out openly, publicly, in an exhibitionist type of broad daylight, sexual exploits before their gods. Blatant, overt, religious, sexual, cult practices, all for pleasure. And on a very serious note, consider how faithful they were to those passions and desires, to the point of sacrificing their child, their firstborn, first conceived child. And God condemns the nation for their actions, because when you depart from God, you depart from life, friends. When you depart from the God of the Bible, when you don't hold his promises close to you, you can be overwhelmed. But the unbeliever has no promise of God, and they're involved in aberrant worship that's empty, unfulfilling. But I wrote myself a note about how bizarre and strangely faithful we are to the practices that please us. Have you noticed that? None of you are going to agree with that. I know you're agreeing. I know you're agreeing with what I just said. We are all very faithful to those things that please us. Let's just pick on little funny, silly things. Do you have like a little special dessert you're just crazy about? You just got to have that thing. Is it Krispy Kreme or what is it? Cinnabon? I don't know. We're on vacation. Mochi ball. Have you ever had one of those? You have. With ice cream on the inside? Rice with the ice cream in the middle? No. Yeah, those things are to die for. My granddaughter took one bite. First time she ever had one, she took a bite and she went, you knew something was wrong when she goes. And then, seriously, for about 2 days, all she talked about is when we were going to get more of them. What am I saying? Have you noticed we will always be faithful to those things that please us? We will make plans. We will look in that direction. We'll go that way. And we will be faithful to those things. And we need to be careful because God is saying, watch out. The most wonderful things can take God's place in our hearts. We have to be careful about that. But the Bible tells us, look in verses 8 and 9, it says, also, behind the door is their post. You have set up your remembrance. These are shrines within the home. For you have uncovered yourself, that is to become naked or nude, exposed, to those other than me, says God. And have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. And you have loved their bed. And you, when you saw their nudity. Verse 9, you went up to the king. By the way, look at some of your margins of your good study Bibles that you might have invested in. You see the word Moloch or Remphan. You might see some of the words Milch, which I think in German, help me out, I don't speak German, but isn't Milch milk in German? Isn't it? It's interesting because Moloch is a reference to the nursing or the milk or the juice from a pagan god. In other words, when a baby's born into the world, a baby nurses on its mother and it gains strength. It's interesting. Listen, very rare passage of scripture. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is seen in heaven, and across his chest is a golden band. The only thing is, it's the word in Greek, P-A-P-S. It's paps. It's an interesting word. It means breast, the comfort of a female breast. Jesus Christ is Lord, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. But there's a comforting nature about Jesus Christ to those who know him. It's wonderful. But Moloch, that's the reference to the king here. With ointment, and you've increased your perfumes. And you sent your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol. That's another word for hell. Verse 10, you were wearied in the length of your way and you did not say, there's no hope. They should have, but they didn't. You have found the life of your hand. Therefore, you were not grieved. I want to show you a picture of Moloch. This is ancient stuff. By the way, I often tell you guys this. I do wish you could just make a trip to the the British Museum in England, where you'll see statues and images. If you ever get a chance to go to the Vatican, you should do it and take a tour, because a lot of these actual gods are in the Vatican and you'll see them. You won't see an actual life-size version of Moloch. He was massive. But people replicated little idols of him. They've been unearthed. They're in museums all around the world. This stocky, stout, fat, brazen altar of a man with a big hole in his stomach, with his arms pitched almost like a forklift lifted upward, about a 45-degree angle. And in the worship, now look, this depicts the children of Israel, because this is how far they departed. They would take their firstborn child in the worship of Moloch, and they would dedicate, listen how stupid this is, they would dedicate their baby to him, to that thing, as he's glowing red hot, the baby would roll down the arms into the fire. And do you know why they would do that? Because Moloch, I'll read it, the sacrifice of conception of the firstborn would be dedicated to Moloch, who would in turn promise, number one, financial gain. You sacrifice your child, you'll be financially better off. Moloch, number two. And he promised you to add children to your future. He takes away your kid, but he promises you kids in the future. Isn't this just like one of Satan's lies? Moloch was, is the habitation of a spirit being and is either that of Satan himself, a fallen angel, or a rank of demons. Moloch, that altar, has always been present in humanity throughout ancient antiquity. The sacrifice of children. I would say tonight that Moloch is alive in America. He's certainly alive in the United Nations of nations, because children are being sacrificed again. In America and around the world. On the altar of pleasure, on the altar of Moloch. Verse 11 says, and of whom you have been afraid. Who have you been afraid or feared? God says, what's wrong with you people? You've become so callous that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken into your heart. Is it not because I have held my peace? Well, you know what? God hasn't stopped me from doing what I'm doing. Must be okay. From of old that you did not fear me. Wow. Well, I'm getting away with it, Pastor, whatever I'm doing. No, you're not. God is slow to anger. He's waiting. He's gentle.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3. Again, thanks for being here with us today. And you know, when darkness surrounds you, don't allow your feelings to take over. Stand on the Word of God and allow His words of comfort to take away your fear. The Lord Knows, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget that we have a lot more media resources available from Pastor Jack. A lot of folks already watch his videos on Facebook and YouTube, but did you know that he's got weekly shows like the Real Life Talk podcast, Real Life TV, weekly devotions that you can tap into? Pastor Jack's also made available what's called Real Life Basics. This is awesome. Titles like What is a Christian? How can I share? And What if I sin? He's also got news updates, teachings that are live from Israel, even studies on the parables of Jesus. That was an awesome study, by the way. Check that out. It's all right there when you visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or on the Real Life mobile app. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.